Measure Up Podcast, Episode 4, Overcoming Objections to Measuring Performance. G'day, welcome everyone. I'm Stacey Barr, the performance measure specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. I'm passionate about making performance measurement easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organization or business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode about overcoming objections to measuring performance, our feature article is how to rebut three common objections to measuring performance. We'll help Measure Up subscriber Eamon answer a question about linking salaries and rewards to performance as a way to change people's attitudes and behaviour. And we'll wrap up with a quick tip for what to do when you don't have the buy-in to start measuring performance. I'm actually listening to a great audiobook at the moment. It's called Buy-In, Saving Your Good Idea from Getting Shot Down. And it's by John Cotter and Lorna Whitehead. It explores different ways to respond to attacks on your good idea in a way that I guess reframes the attacks as valid points of view from a person different to you. And this shift in perspective makes it easier to respond really constructively when you feel like your idea is under attack and at risk of getting shot down. Part of the response is to simply acknowledge the person's point of view as being real and valid to them. And another part of the response is to acknowledge that this person's point of view is not everyone's point of view. And from where I'm up to, I suspect that another important part of the response is to help people see the limits of their viewpoints, or at least the assumptions that underpin them, and then to be able to openly explore those assumptions. Often the assumptions don't hold water. But an honest respect for everyone is definitely at the base of any attempt to get their buy-in to your ideas, and your ideas about performance measurement are no exception. People will object to KPIs and performance measures, so let's talk about some of these. This episode's feature article is how to rebut three common objections to measuring performance. You can get a written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Well, you've done your research, you've prepared your case, and your next step is to try and convince managers and colleagues to endorse your proposal for a performance measurement project. And you brace yourself because you know what's coming. It will be a torrent of yeah buts, basically objections to giving time, money or effort to performance measurement. Are you going to sit there and take it or do something about it before it happens? Objection one, performance measurement hasn't worked in the past. Well, what's happening with this objection is that the person is assuming that because there has so far been no successful approach to performance measurement, that means there can't be a successful approach in the future. Your focus should be on raising and challenging this assumption and offering an approach to performance measurement that acknowledges the causes of failure and show how that approach solves those causes. A constructive response could be, you're absolutely right that performance measurement has had problems. We've got too many measures. People don't find the measures useful. They don't align to our strategy and staff are spending too much time collecting data for these useless measures. So if we want performance measurement to succeed, we obviously need to take a different approach and an approach that deliberately solves and prevents these kinds of problems. Here's how my proposed approach does that. Objection two, we don't have time for performance measurement. Well, at the foundation of this objection is the assumption that everything people are currently doing is of a higher priority than performance measurement. We already know that people spend a lot of time on urgent things that aren't in alignment with strategy or that are rework resulting from ineffective or inefficient processes. You simply need to highlight how good performance measures can reduce the time wasted on these kinds of activities and therefore is of a higher priority than these activities. A constructive response could be, I agree. It seems like we're all getting busier and busier, and the last thing we need is something else to try and squeeze into our days. And yet I can't help noticing how a good proportion of the things we do can be done so much easier and quicker. For example, and here's where you'd insert some well-researched examples from your organisation, I truly believe that it's better to risk taking time out from some of these urgent but not important activities in order to prevent them from continuing to happen in the future. Objection 3, we already know what matters. Performance measures won't tell us anything new. The assumption propping up this objection is that just by looking around or relying on our experience with the work we do, we can see and know everything that matters. But the truth is, we all have biases caused by our values and moods and what we notice and what we don't notice. And these biases prevent us from seeing objectively the patterns and trends that data can show us more quickly and easily. It's not hard to demonstrate this with a few examples of how data has led people to surprising and valuable insights that otherwise would have been missed. So a constructive response could be, our people have fantastic knowledge of the work they do and a very strong commitment to doing their best. Our job is to empower them so they can more easily focus on what will produce the best results. We can't expect them to simultaneously watch the big picture as well as what's right in front of them. Performance measures are great for showing them what's happening in the big picture quickly and easily so they can make the best choices about what's currently in front of them. For example, and again, here's where you'd insert some examples of how performance measures have produced insights that no one noticed from just looking around. Be prepared, respectful, honest, and focused on the big picture. Handling objections to performance measurement requires that you dig a little deeper to understand the assumptions people are making that lead to their objections, raising those assumptions so everyone realizes they're there, and then stimulating some dialogue to move beyond the objection. It's not about being a smarty pants or winning a debate with the person who voices the objection. It's about elevating the dialogue to a constructive level so you can all get a better understanding and move forward. If you want to put these ideas into practice, well, here is a suggestion. Which of these three objections is blocking your path to better performance measurement? Take pen to paper for 15 minutes and prepare some well-informed, respectful, and constructive responses to the ways you expect this objection to be expressed by your managers or colleagues. One of the causes of objections to performance measures is how we, or at least managers, propose to use measures. And this relates to this episode's Q&A topic. This episode's question comes from Eamon, who asks, by conceiving performance management as a social process, what are your tips to change people's attitudes and behavior to ensure effectiveness? Does linking salaries and rewards to performance permit the social transformation? Eamon's right in that I really do believe performance measurement and performance management is largely a social process. What I mean by that is that performance measurement success rests far more heavily on how people feel about performance measurement, what they believe about it, and how they go about doing it, than it does on the technical aspects or theory of performance measurement. You probably already realize this from your own experience. I'll bet you've got plenty of stories of how people have manipulated performance data so the measures looked good, or chose measures that monitored things they really were already good at rather than things they needed to do better at. They're protecting themselves from bad experiences that happen when their customers or managers or other stakeholders use those measures to judge them. Sometimes the judgment results in a cut in budget, which means they won't get to do the projects they feel most interested in. Sometimes the judgment results in embarrassment or loss of face, which no one really enjoys and which can sometimes affect career prospects. And sometimes the judgment can even result in missing a bonus or salary increment or even losing your job. It's no wonder people don't like performance measures or KPIs when this is the kind of experience they've had or the kind of experience they believe they'll have. Very rarely does linking KPIs or measures to salaries and rewards ever result in a positive shift in the culture of an organization. Rather than enabling people to excel at their work, it more often causes internal conflict and competition and a dramatically risk-averse culture. Most organizations that succeed have cultures where sensible risk-taking is encouraged because it fosters learning, cultures which are results-oriented rather than just task-oriented, and cultures where collaboration is king over competition. And these organizations use performance measures as tools for people to improve the processes they work in and not as rods for their backs. These organizations believe that to improve performance, you need to improve the processes of the organization, not focus on the performance of people. So does linking salaries and rewards to performance permit the social transformation? I say no, it doesn't. You need to link performance measures to goals and processes and encourage people to use those measures as tools to improve the processes and pursue the goals. Well, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer for you on this podcast, simply email it to me at measureup@stacybarr.com. Linking salaries and rewards to performance measures and those three objections I shared before in the feature article, they're just some of the many reasons why people won't buy into performance measurement. Irrespective of the obstacles preventing more buy-in in your situation, there is something that you can do to start turning things around. And that's our quick tip for this episode, what to do when you don't have the buy-in to start measuring performance. My suggestion is to measure one thing really, really well, all the way through to improving results with that measure. The idea here is to start small, ideally on a hot issue, that if it got solved, it would be of huge benefit to the people whose buy-in you seek. You want to turn the attention away from measurement and onto performance improvement or problem solving, because that's what measures are really for, to make things better. And when people get the experience of this, of seeing and feeling the usefulness of measures in understanding and fixing problems, they'll start to come around. The kinds of hot issues that can work will obviously depend on who the people are whose buy-in you're seeking. For an operational team, a hot issue might be the amount of overtime people are working or the complaints they keep getting from customers. For a leadership team, the hot issue might be rising expenditure in a particular department or a high turnover of the organization's best professional staff. Find the hot issue, start measuring, and let the measures guide you to solving the problem. Make sure you allow time at the end, though, to reflect on the role that measures took in solving the problem too, and then look for the next opportunity for measures to help solve another problem. Buy into performance measurement can grow organically from there. So here we are at the end of another episode, and thanks for joining me. You can download these podcasts and also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com. You can subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. Just search for Measure Up. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.